Welcome to The Atypical Leader with Rick Brennan, where we talk about harnessing what makes you unique
and maybe even a little odd,
while at the same time dismantling the notion that you have to be a certain type of person or act a certain way to be an effective leader.
You're definitely a leader, not a follower.
I like the sound of this.
It's time for us atypical leaders to come out of the shadows and learn to be proud and confident in what makes us different.
I'm proud of who I am.
I'm proud of who I am.
Atypical Leader starts now.
Good morning, Judy.
Good afternoon, Rick. How are you?
Good, my little kumquat.
You're my little kumquat.
Kumquat.
Kumquat. What did I say?
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah. I'm playing Charlie Brown's mother. Wah, 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 wah.
So, things are good?
Things are good.
What
things
have you been
are
up
great.
To? What have you been up to?
Well, you know, I had that conversation with you on an episode about how I say yes now and I'm going for everything. Well, yesterday I went to a bar class. It's kind of the basis of what a ballet class is, but it's really far from that.
Oh, so the bar's on the wall type.
Yeah, the bar's on the wall and, you know, mirrors. And but this woman, oh my God, what a cutie patootie. And could she, well, she was a dancer, obviously. She's a dancer. And she killed me. Honest to God. But
you're sore?
I did it.
You're sore?
I'm sore today, yeah. But I was amazed that I could keep up because I was a little bit older than most of the people in the class by, you know, a few years here and there.
All right.
And it was fun. It was a great time. But yeah, I'm a little sore today.
Well, so, there you go. But that's your say yes to everything, right?
That's right.
And that's, I mean, I gotta salute that type of attitude, and you continue to do that.
Yep.
Everybody can learn from that. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Atypical, typical, whatever, you know.
Get out there.
Get out there and do things. And as you do
exactly.
things, you experience new things, you meet new people, your life just expands, right?
Exactly, yeah.
You're a little sore.
Yeah, but that's okay. Yeah,
you're,
that's a
how
bit.
Sore are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, maybe a 3.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's nothing.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. I've played certain sports. I could literally hardly walk.
Yeah. Well, ask me tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, it usually is the second day after that you really get sore.
Yeah, because I did yoga today, and I wasn't sore at all. Mind you, yoga was lovely. It wasn't very hard today. A lot of meditation, but I'm starting to feel it a bit now. So right now, about a 3, but ask me if I can sit down to pee tomorrow.
Okay. Well, okay, I'll mark that on my calendar. So actually, and in that theme of saying yes, as we talked about, we went to a French class.
No, we went to a Spanish class.
There you go. There's old Rick's neurodiverse brain. So we went to this restaurant. I don't know, kind of groovy type little restaurant.
Yeah, it's a pretty healthy, you know, place, but conversation class, and
right,
he brought
right.
in this lovely couple, and they were chatting. It was really noisy, though, wasn't
it? I must
it?
Say I was very apprehensive going, because I think why I said French originally, because I've been surrounded by French my entire life. I mean, it's ridiculous. I grew up in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
I went to university in Montreal. I started my job in Montreal. My mother is French. All her side of the family is French. And here I am, I can hardly speak it.
Wow.
And I took French in school, and it's just, it's like a cement wall.
It's like
a cement wall. So we're going to Spanish class, and I'm in, you know, Costa Rica, and I really want to learn Spanish,
right.
just like I wanted to learn. And oh, yeah, and when I coached, most of my players were French.
Jesus.
It was so, and you know, you get left out of the fun, you get left out of the jokes.
Yes.
Because
yes.
one thing not to understand a language, and let me tell you, if you can't understand a language, getting the jokes is impossible.
Oh, impossible.
So everyone else is, ha, and I'm going,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I've been, you know, beating my head against the wall for about 6 years, but it's slowly coming together a little bit. I could speak to Jorge yesterday, carry on a bit of a conversation. Yeah, I think it was very brave of both of us to go because of the way our minds work. I mean, we're just not language people.
We're not. And, you know, and I know I've been accused my whole life of just being lazy. Because
no.
you say, I just don't learn language, people look at you like you're stupid. Let me rephrase that. Not that you're stupid, more like you're just plain lazy. You're not trying hard enough. You're not committed to it. If you were committed to it, you could get it. And I just wish it was that simple.
Me too.
And even yesterday in that class, we're in a restaurant, and the restaurant in itself isn't noisy, but the table that where everybody who's participating, everybody's talking at different levels, and there's so much noise that I mean, it's so hard to understand and hear because there's the background music or noise you got to filter out. Yeah. I did enjoy it, I must say.
Yeah.
And I think there's value in it, for sure.
What's a fork?
Fourchette. I see, and you just told me that 2 minutes ago. Not a fork. You told me what a knife was. Courtier.
Cuchillo. Cuchillo.
Okay. Well, there you go. Look at us go.
But a fork is tenedor. I know a fork.
Tenedor. Okay.
Well, okay. There you go.
But it was hard.
It was.
And so we finished up the Spanish class, and the funniest thing happened. Which we've laughed about ever since.
Yes.
It's an example of my life and my brain.
The epitome.
The epitome. And for anyone, because you know we talk a lot about as an atypical, as neurodiverse, as dyslexic or cognitive challenged or ADHD and all these things, we see the world through a different lens. And a lot of time people don't understand what that really means.
Right.
And everybody's different. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
So we're leaving the restaurant yesterday, and this restaurant is like it's kind of a hippie vibe.
Yeah,
you know?
Healthy.
Healthy, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Lots of smoothies,
that sort of stuff. So we're going away, and I look back at the sign, and I said, oh, my God, they have clams and chili. Clams and chili. And listen, and then I'll let you take it over from then, and then you say, what the fuck?
Yeah, then Vanessa and I said, what the fuck are you talking about? And Rick says, well, look, there's a sign. And we're looking, and we go, you mean calm and chill? He said, no, clams and chili. And we said, no, calm and chill. And okay. Oh, my God, we laughed hard.
Oh, no. And oh, I laughed hard.
Yes, you too.
And I've learned to accept that that's the shit. You know, that's what my brain saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably a lot too, because it was a restaurant. So clams and chili would make sense in that environment.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous. Clams and chili, that's going to be my saying. That could have happened in any situation anywhere.
Yeah.
And now let's assume that you guys didn't even notice that.
Right.
And we drove away.
Yeah.
I would forever be thinking, oh, I'm going to go back there and get some clams and chili.
And we'd be looking at you like you were fucking nuts.
They don't serve that there. And I said, yes, they do serve that. I saw the sign. So now you start to understand. So now I'm getting stubborn. I saw the goddamn sign.
Yeah.
It's like that person who, on one side, you see a six, and the other side, you see a nine.
Yeah.
And it's that type of thing. But my brain, for whatever reason, wanted to see that. And that's the information that I take away. That's the information that I work with.
And you'll fight to the death
I'll fight to the death because I saw that. You guys don't know what you're fucking talking
exactly.
about. Now, thank God you guys saw that. And we had a great laugh. And I laughed because I go, oh, there's Rick. Oh, my God. Clams and chili.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one for quite a while, I think.
Yeah, but so take that through life.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's been my experience with so many things.
Right.
Be it language, be it certain circumstances, be it math,
right.
Financial results,
right.
All these sorts of things where I've struggled with all of that all of the time.
Right.
And I don't even know I'm struggling with it.
Well,
that's the hard part. I don't even know I'm struggling with it.
Unless somebody points it out to you, what you see is the truth.
Right, and then my ADHD is driving. Yeah.
You guys don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I just read it. It's right here.
Right.
You know?
And slowly over time, I think what happened with me that I would suggest happens with most atypical neurodiverse, we find our lane.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know stubbornly over years that I do make these mistakes.
Right.
And I don't know I'm making these mistakes. So what do? I start to simplify. I get into my lane. I make things simple for me and my team. I stay focused on our job at hand, and I don't allow my team or me to vary from the job at hand, which I know will confuse me.
Okay.
It's like when I talked about when we're doing IDSC and we're going through a complex strategy. Okay. Whoa. Treat me like I'm an 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Take me through this step by step by step, piece by piece, until I fully understand. Now, what's interesting is that technique I would learn was valuable to almost everybody, regardless if you're atypical or not atypical or typical, still that understanding right to the core of something when you're moving forward into new projects and that is essential.
Right. Definitely. Yeah.
But I can give other examples. I mean, I laugh at myself because I have this great big toolbox at my house. It's in the garage. And I would sit there every day when I go out there to grab a screwdriver or a wrench. I would get, okay, screwdriver, first drawer or third drawer. And I'm going to tell you, because then I would start to guess, okay, I know, I think it's the first drawer. And I got to tell you, 90% of the time I'm wrong.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's crazy.
You just can't retain it?
I don't know. I wish I could explain it all.
Right, yeah.
And remember, this is what we talk about a lot, is that do you have to be diagnosed? Do you have to have all these protocols? Say, here's what you need to do to...
Yeah, you don't want to have to try and fix it. You just try and work with it.
Work with it and you chuckle at it and it doesn't matter. So then I open the other drawer. But the point is these things, these learnings, how my brain can just not go down the right path has pushed me into getting things into a narrow lane. Maybe the greatest thing I ever did was getting into the narrow lane because then I became very good in that narrow lane, which involved simplicity, organization, and people, delegation, all of that stuff in that little lane. So I became an expert at that, and which would luckily for me, be the keys to high-performance teams. The keys to success isn't built on me as a leader. It's built on what my team can bring to the party, the atmosphere I can create for them to be successful.
Right. Now, question, when you had your team, when you were at the Retail Banner Group, were you making mistakes like that a lot?
I don't know that I'm making them.
No one pointed it out to you?
Oh, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. I know I'm the worst speller. I know, but okay, so I would never send out an email from Rick.
No, I know, no.
Because I would always, don't get me wrong. If I'm communicating to you, I'm communicating to my direct reports, I don't give a shit that it's spelled wrong.
Right, yeah.
So that's not an issue. But any email of any consequence going to someone, I would always have my EA, even look over an email.
Right.
Because I know I'm going to make those mistakes. I could look at an email, there can be... And you've seen it, Judy, as we put out the stuff for the podcast.
Yeah.
Those words are glaring. I'll read that and read that. I could read it forever and never see that mistake. My brain just will not allow me to.
Were you ever in a position that you saw something or thought something like, you know, clam and chili, and was so determined that that was right that you went down that road instead of the calm and chill road?
Oh, fucking 1,000 times.
Really?
1,000 times.
And you had to backtrack and go, let's go this way instead.
Well, I don't know that I would say backtrack, but that became part of my personality.
So people would just chuckle and move on?
Chuckle and move on.
But they must have been able to say, hey, Rick.
You're an idiot.
We're not going about clams and chili. We're over here chill.
And, but that, remember, that became to the relationship I had with my team. Remember, we've always said that that was one of the great, if you got a great operating team, your team's coming to you and saying, no, that's wrong.
Right. Okay.
No, you can't do that.
Right. Okay.
That's when your team is smoking.
Right.
It's when those type of things. So I created that environment unknowing to me. I didn't create that environment on purpose so people would correct me.
Right.
But it just was because I'm in that narrow lane, because we think, and you know, Rick's got a personality, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we got to bring him back in and that sort of stuff.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of good stuff in that, but there's a lot. Right. Now, I was lucky enough to pick the right people and to be associated with the right people and have the right friends as all that fell into place.
How do you account for that? I mean,
You know what? I can't account for it all. Asking me questions I don't have answers to.
Okay.
And I don't know that anyone has answers to, and I don't know if you need the answers to it.
Right.
But we know that, what's your lane?
Right.
Your lane's got to be, if you're atypical, it's got to be about people. Come on. Okay. What type of people you want? People that you don't trust or people that you trust? People that you respect that you don't respect? People that think like you or people don't? To me, it's pretty common sense that you're evolving a team, that you're in the same pathway.
Right.
And, you know, you're also developing, you know, a little bit of flexibility because you've learned to bob and weave. You don't want everybody to agree with me.
No.
So I'm not getting all these clones of me, but I'm getting in the same box as far as moral values, the way you think about life, those type of things. Doesn't mean we think the same.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because not all your team wasn't neurodivergent.
No, of course not. Of course not.
Were there any neurodivergent people on your team?
Don't know. Probably.
Huh, interesting.
But remember now, this is you know, neurodiversity and all this sort of stuff is coming more into light.
Right. Yes.
Right. Were people that back then? Who knows?
Right.
I mean, I didn't know that I knew. I mean, I didn't get tested till I was 30-some.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I didn't. I don't know how it validated to me that, okay, my brain works differently, but it didn't cause me to really act differently. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't in vogue.
Right.
So I have dyslexia. It's like, well, it's like you've got a broken toe. It was nothing you really could cling to.
Okay.
Now that we understand more about it, now that there's podcasts like this talking about it, you can help people to understand that, embrace those differences, find your lane.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do stupid things like clams and chili, or whatever it might be.
Right.
You know, you got to laugh about it. What do you got?
Well, you do.
It is hilarious. I'll never forget it the rest of my life.
Oh, clams, me neither. Honest to God.
But it caused me, you know, you talk about that lane to do things. So even when I was coaching, you know, as coaching ringette, and you know, a lot of people, depending where you come from, probably not even heard ringette. It's a nice sport with girls.
Yeah.
It's just the same as hockey, really.
Right.
But the one thing about that is that I believed in repetition. Because that's what always works for me. Doing the same thing over and over, you become very, very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that way with anybody in any job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the one thing that I came to learn, because, I mean, when I started coaching ringette, I never didn't know what the hell ringette was. My daughter wanted to play, so we went and played. And I would learn over time, and I would take the coaching courses, and I would do all that sort of stuff. And I learned that this triangle defensive formation was, if in place, you know, you almost never scored it on it.
Oh,
when
really?
It was in place. But the problem is games go on and people go here and people go there and goals get scored because the triangle is never really in place. Now, I say that, I'm simplifying it. I mean, there's lots of ways to execute the triangle and that.
Okay.
But so if I'm leading a goal by a score,
mm-hmm.
my simple mind says, well, then, and I know that no one ever scores on the triangle, well, then don't compromise the triangle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would have this thing called a full house. And when I'd call full house, my center would fall back and we'd be ready to go in the triangle at any time. I'm leading by a goal. I know that they can't score on us if the triangle's in place. It seemed like a no-brainer for me.
Okay.
Now, other people from the stands were looking and said, what the hell is this? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Because they're not understanding the strategy and that. But in my simple way of approaching things,
right,
wanting to win that game,
right,
then I would approach things in that way. And I think that's the way I approach business. Okay, what do I need to do? How do I do it? What are the sure things? Well, make sure the sure things happen. That's why when you talk about complex projects, simplify them. Because I know if I understand, I can do it.
Right.
I know if I complexify it, now I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not sure if I can do it or my team can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that my brain just went to because, annoyingly, it's clams and chili. Clams and chili all day long.
Exactly. So before you moved into the leadership role, you know, I mean, you had several leadership roles, if I remember correctly. How did you do it? Like, you know, for listeners that are just trying to, you know, they're just starting to think, well, maybe I want to move up that
right,
ladder,
right?
Right? But I'm having problems with this. How is this when you started developing these techniques
I think so. Those techniques were just developed by me,
mm-hmm.
for me.
Yeah.
Because so I'm a district manager at Shoppers Drug Mart.
Right.
And again, I know that, well, if I want to get shit done, there's only so many hours in the day,
mm-hmm.
better get organized. And it's only the staff can do that. And it became very common sense to me. And this is so long ago that people would think that, well, it always existed, but people would just go to the back room, grab all kinds of stock, go to the floor and fill shelves.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But that's not organized. I would break everybody, each person would become a captain, mm-hmm. of various sections. Then we would organize the back room to do that. They would do, it became tremendously efficient. And when you do that, now people take pride in their sections.
Right.
So all of a sudden now the image of service levels are all starting to grow. You had to make sure that people had the time to do that job.
Because
now if you're pulling me to cash all the time, I have no time to do that job.
Right.
So, okay, how do we solve that? So I see, again, very simple, common sense approach to everything.
Right.
Now, so we have a structure. People are responsible. People have the time to do their job. Boom. Success.
But what about before you got to district manager?
Well, what do you mean? It's the same. I mean, what do you want to go back to my childhood here or what?
I'm just trying to
think. Same thing. When I was a guy working on the show, I was working as a clerk on his store.
Yeah.
That's what I learned to do myself.
Okay, that's what I'm asking you.
You know, but again, how do I get this done? I have so many hours a day. I have to get my shelves filled. I want to make sure my sections look good, have high services. How do I do that? And I would do my approach very simple, get organized in the cage. And all of a sudden, I'd have be Wednesday and I'm done.
Wow.
I go to the boss, okay, it's Wednesday and I'm done. And I can remember the assistant manager, oh, you're done, blah, blah, blah. And me and the boss and the assistant manager walked out and looked, and the assistant manager's trying to pick it apart, and the boss going, fuck off, he's done. Right?
Right.
So now I'm doing better than my counterparts in the store, which leads to, okay, Rick's promotable.
Okay, that's what I was trying to say, was even when
as a district manager, same thing. Right. All those things on my store, Rick's now promotable because just simplicity, organizing, finding my lane.
Right.
So I didn't go in with flashy reports and say, here's how we should do this and here's how it's done in the UK and all that. Right. No. Said, how do we get the goddamn product from there onto the shelf where somebody might buy it? How do we make sure the pricing is right? How do we make sure all these sorts of things? So very simple. Then when I went as director of ops, and I brought that to my team. Here's how, and just so on and so forth. Staying in my lane, very simple, making sure it happened. So I'm sure, you know, I've ate a lot of clams and chili over the year.
I'm sure you have.
You know, but it's such a funny but spot on example. That I think that anyone who has the same issues as me, who's neurodiverse or dyslexic or all these cognitive type of issues, can really relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And now today you have the advantage that there's a deeper understanding of that. Not total.
No.
Not total. But you have to just laugh at that. I mean, I laughed. I was lying in bed just chuckling away last night at clams.
It's crazy.
Oh, my God. And you guys, and it was perfect that you guys saw that because I would have missed it.
Oh, I know. I know. We would have been driving home and you'd be going, God, we should go back and have some clams and chili. No. And we'd be going, what the fuck are you talking about now, Brendan?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, fuckers. What do you mean? You don't know what I'm talking about.
And the fight would have been on.
So charge on, you know. Yeah. Open that. You could be wrong.
But
find your lane, stick to your lane. Mm-hmm. You are what you are.
Have some humor. Find it funny.
Yeah.
You can't do anything but laugh.
Be calm and relax.
Yeah. And calm and relax.
Or clams and chili, whatever you want to call it.
No, calm and chill.
Okay.
That's
still got it wrong. Oh, God. Oh, God. See, it'll never happen.
No.
Anyways, that was
a fun one. Yeah. We just had to share that story with our listeners.
Okay, cool. Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Ciao.
Goodbye.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to another episode of The Atypical Leader. If you haven't already done so, like, share, and follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. By liking and sharing, you will help other atypicals find all of us, so we can all start to leverage the stories, strategies, and strengths of what make us all unique. Keep listening and remember, take charge and push away those self-doubts. Leverage what we're talking about. Be confident in who you are and proud of what makes you unique.
So join me, Rick Brennan, and my co-host Judy Sims on the next episode of The Atypical Leader. And don't forget to get your copy of the book, The Atypical Leader, Harnessing the Power of Neurodiversity, on Amazon. To learn more about us, leadership, and neurodiversity, please go to our website, atypicalleader.com.
Thanks for listening. Let's do it again next week.